We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, guide us ever onward by the brightness of your light that was in the manger at Bethlehem that has pierced through our darkness throughout all generations. Guide us into your truth, into your forgiveness and peace, all born of Christ, our living Savior. Amen. The portion of God's word which we turn to, Isaiah the prophet, chapter 61. Do you believe that miracles really happen? Or is that the stuff that fairy tales are made of? Would you recognize a miracle if you actually saw it? Or are they always just so subtle that they escape our attention? Miracles. A story is told about Olga Skarkov. Many generations ago in a far eastern nation, the story goes that the postman was delivering letters and he dropped a few in the snow and the wind whirled them up and he was snagging letters in every direction and one got away with it. And the wind blew it between this small little crack between two brick houses. He was reaching in and afraid he'd get stuck. They were so close together. And naturally, as letters do, they always land right in the middle of these two brick walls. And so he's scurrying and squeezing in there to get that letter. And he noticed the oddest of things. There's a little basement window right by the letter. Well, he just quickly glances in, and what does he see? A teenage girl, dirty and sickly and chained to the wall. Wow, that startled him. He told it to the police. The police raided the place. And sure enough, they burst into the room and there was this dirty, barely clothed, sickly teenage girl and she was chained to the wall. They found out later that she had been there her entire life. She was a sex slave. What puzzled the police, however, is that when they came in to rescue her, she was violent with them. She tried to hide from them. She scratched and bit and fought them. Her doctors later explained to the policemen, you have to look at it from her vantage point. That's all she has ever known, was chained to that wall. The only person she had ever seen was her captor. So as you're stepping into the room, you seem like a great threat to her. Wow, isn't that pitiful? Isn't that the height of being broken when you don't even realize what a sad, pathetic situation you're in? We certainly aren't in that situation. Or could we be? Could we be so blinded by our own sins, so used to and acclimated to being sinners, living in a sinful world with all the effects of sin that we can't even identify a sin anymore? That this just seems so natural, we can't envision how it could all be so different. We too can be blinded into the normalcy of this wretched world and think this is perfectly normal. God gave Isaiah his appraisal of what he saw when he looked at this world. Does it match up with how we would size up our lives? He comes and calls the people poor, blind, brokenhearted, prisoners, who are in despair and grieving. Does that sound like our lives? I would think for most of us, we'd probably say, no, I'm pretty happy and I'm free and things are going relatively well. That doesn't describe me at all. Well, maybe Isaiah isn't talking about us. Or maybe we're really taking the pain and the brokenness and the rottenness and pushing it out of sight, out of mind, because we're so used to it day in and day out, we don't hope or dream of anything better. Wouldn't that be sad? To be so used to sin and its corrosive effects that we're not even aware of it anymore. Look for the evidence of those chains tying us to our sin, biting into our flesh, filling us with anger and rage and jealousy and hatred toward others and discontent over what we have, and nothing's right and nothing's ever, and everything just stinks. Do we smell it? You know, sometimes people are so used to walking in manure, they don't smell it anymore, and they actually think they're breathing fresh air, when all around them, everything just simply stinks. Is that our world? Is that our reality? Have we grown so accustomed to sin and our sins that we aren't even alarmed by it anymore? The great danger, however, then, is that we're suffering and we never take it to the Lord. We're defeated and we never allow the Lord to pick us up. We keep on pushing Him and His Word away because, this is as good as it gets. I don't believe in miracles. Nothing's ever going to get better. And the greatest danger is that then we put a stamp of approval on our own sins. Those private sins, those personal sins, those sins that we believe will never see the light of day. Oh, everybody thinks we have it all put together. Everybody thinks we're just stellar, but we've got our own pet sins. And now all of a sudden we don't have to repent and renounce those sins. It's just life. It's just what everybody does. And those sins take us away from God. They kill our faith. And they fill our hearts with guilt and regret and shame and misery and suffering. God has a different choice for us this Christmas. A miracle. Do we believe in miracles? God is here to work a miracle. If God were to give you a miracle, for you to name a miracle and let it happen, if God were to give you the power to perform a miracle this Christmas, just one, what would it be? Would it be to be fabulously wealthy or powerful? Or would you use your one divine miracle to lift yourself or somebody else out of pain, anguish, bitter suffering? God comes this Christmas to do just that, to lift us and the world up. He tells us to listen closely, to pay attention to the Messiah's miracles, all that He was sent here to do. He takes us from absolute nothing to everything. And boy, that takes a miracle or two to pull that one off. If we are the richest and most powerful people on the face of the earth, but we don't believe in what Jesus has come to do, who Jesus is, we are totally the poorest and most pathetic people on the face of this earth. Oh, our trinkets for a moment, but an eternity of hell waiting for us in suffering and pain. God calls the poor, the brokenhearted, the prisoners, those who are mourning and grieving over the sick state of affairs here on planet Earth, who can smell the manure and it gags them as to all the wickedness that is on every corner. Notice, when God uses that terminology, He's not just talking about the condition we're living in, that we happen to have a condition that's poor, that could be reversed at any moment. He's, or brokenhearted, he's talking about who we are on the inside. By nature, we are all poor, hopeless, helpless. That's who we are, not just the existence we exist in. And brokenhearted. And notice God so loved us that he didn't want to leave us in that plight. Simply to go from this ruined world into a hole in hell. But in order to rescue us, it would take a miracle, and that's what the baby Jesus is all about. The baby Jesus came with a commissioning, a mission that God was given by God the Father. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and a day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem in order to give us a whole new birth. He was born in human flesh so that we might be born of God and have a whole new name, to go from nothing to everything. He's the one who, in creation, spoke the word, and everything that exists came into being out of nothingness. And now Jesus has come to speak the word that creates us anew on the inside, to speak a word of forgiveness on our heads so that we truly are forgiven and will not be destroyed for our sins. He came to put on a crown of suffering and shame so that he might crown us with pleasure and with the glory of God. He came to be wrapped in dirty little rags so that we might be wrapped in his robe of righteousness and wear royal garments, not naked and exposed by our sins, but covered in his grace and favor. He has come to be our all, to pick us up from a nothing and making us the very children of God. There is no higher place for any mortal to be than to be called the child of God, and that he gives us as a free Christmas gift. And that's what changes everything for us. He was broken in order to heal our brokenness. He gave his all so that he would be all, everything to us. And how blessed we are. He died on the cross so that we might live in paradise and have this Christmas gift that just keeps on giving and giving and giving. Do miracles happen? Of course they do. We're living proof of it. We who were once in darkness, steeped in our sins, destined to hell, have now been brought out into his light, and now his glory glows in us. The words of Isaiah are made true in our lives. Isaiah wrote, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Have you noticed when we sing, O come, Emmanuel, or joy to the world, the Lord has come, they're not just cute little Christmas songs for us. They truly express our faith. Just as the Israelites of the Old Testament were yearning and waiting for the Messiah to come, so we in the New Testament are yearning and waiting for the Messiah to come in all of his glory. Well, how can we yearn and wait for something that we don't believe in? We can. We can't. We do believe in him. Just the fact that we sing those songs with such joy tells us that the Holy Spirit has touched our hearts and lives, brought us from death to life, brought us from being the enemies of God to the very children of God, and healed our brokenness in His grace. O come, Emmanuel, joy to the world. That sings out the faith the Holy Spirit has given us. God's good news, the greatest news, has now become our good news. He has made it our own personal possession, and in that trust, our hearts are aglow. We bow at the manger of Christ and recognize He came for us. Isaiah's words are fulfilled in our lives, in our destiny. We are now going home to heaven and not to hell. Our hearts are bursting with love and praise, all born there of the Holy Spirit. And so we eagerly wait for that day when we will celebrate Christmas in glory before the throne of God. Oh, what a Christmas that will be, when we have no more sin or shame or sinful nature to pollute or divert or bring sadness into this holy season. Oh, what a Christmas that will be, when it's just pure ecstasy before our Savior Lord. And how we yearn for that. In the meantime, however, we live in a fallen world, and there's still many things to cry about and to be sad about this Christmas. But there is a joy this world cannot take away from us. And so this Christmas, we ask, do you know anyone who doesn't know of Jesus? Do you know anyone who, for them, Christmas is just tinsel and toys and a time to make merry? Oh, that we might share that glorious good news with them, the greatest Christmas gift of all. The evil is getting darker and darker. Why, this morning it was reported that 4 teenage Christians were beheaded by ISIS simply because they wouldn't renounce their faith. I doubt that they were planning on spending Christmas in heaven. But at any moment, God may call us from this world. Does terrible stories like that make us want to recoil and relinquish and hide our faith for fear of losing our head? Or do those empower us and embolden us? Oh, how desperately this world needs to hear of the baby Jesus and what He came to do, the miracles He came to perform, and that He not only performed them for us, but for them as well. In these dark and dreadful days, that the light of the gospel might shine all the more brilliantly in our hearts and lives and in those around us. That this Christmas, God's plan is not only to warm us in His love and to strengthen us in His grace and all that He has given us this Christmas, but also to use us to give that precious gift of forgiveness and love and knowledge of God's atoning sacrifice into the hearts and lives of so many around us. Do we believe in miracles? Of course we do. And we believe that the Holy Spirit has a lot more miracles to create in other people's hearts and lives and homes. Push back the darkness by the light of the gospel. In our own hearts and lives, as we renounce our sins and turn to our Savior, and in the hearts and lives of so many others, then it will truly be a most blessed Christmas. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the brilliance of Your glory shining in the fabric of our being. Be with us. Help us to take Your word to heart, and may that seed spring up and bear abundant fruit in praise and honor to Your holy name. Bless us this Christmas season, that we might keep our eyes ever on Christ, the author of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.